the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Gibbons with us for the last word on the environment. If you missed his Culture Club last night, you can find it online. But let's talk about environmental issues tonight, John. And war brings about death. And unfortunately, many people have died because of the American-Israeli assault on Iran. But it also brings about destruction. And that destruction has incredible environmental consequences. So it's not just the bombing of buildings, but it's also when you see things like the LNG facilities and oil terminals and oil tankers going up in flames. Just how much damage does it all do?
Yeah, the tally on this is colossal. I mean, to take a step back, the Ukraine war, the carbon emissions, just carbon emissions from 4 years of destruction from the Russian invasion of Ukraine is so far tallied at about 300 million tons.
What does that mean?
For context, that's about 5 years of total annual emissions from Ireland, from all sectors for 5 years, just in relation to the conflict. This is nothing to do with Russian emissions, non-war emissions. So it's a colossal addition. We're seeing, for example, in the opening 2 weeks of the Iran assault, we're looking at 5 million tons of carbon emissions. Now, it breaks down, Matt, in different ways. I mean, there's obviously colossal amounts of resources being deployed. There's the machinery of war is, you know, voracious. The moving battleships, moving aircraft carriers, these things gulp down colossal amounts of fuel. So that's one side of it. But probably the largest tally is on the sheer destruction. And we've seen that, obviously, infamously in Gaza. You know, tens of thousands of homes, businesses, institutions, hospitals, everything completely leveled, turned to rubble.
That's right, which is now happening in Lebanon.
And of course,
well,
we're seeing that repeated, that same pattern repeated in southern Lebanon and God knows where next. And that, at some point, there will be a reconstruction of these areas. And the embedded carbon losses there are running again into tens, maybe hundreds of millions of tons. And that is in no way to be in any way glib about the incredible human, and I would say non-human, suffering. Think of the wildlife, the animals, the livestock that are caught in these war zones as helpless and as caged as the humans that are caught as well in the same situation. So,
and it's all a game to the peak hag sets of this world.
No, totally. I mean, like we've seen, for example, already colossal destruction in Iran, for example, and we've covered Gaza. So far, we've seen over 16,000 homes, 3,500 businesses, 77 medical centres, 69 schools flattened. And this is really just getting started. And as you say, for no good reason. And it is a remarkable thing that, you know, we have organizations like the UN and the World Meteorological Organization ringing alarm bells saying that, you know, we're running out of time, that climate emergency is slipping away. And yet the great powers, the so-called great powers, are moving in the opposite direction.
See, listener says, it's crazy. Warlords can do that to our world, but Joe Soap is demonised for not separating recycling from the black bin. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, we have to do all of the above, Matt, right? There's no get-out-of-jail card, I'm sorry to say, for any of us. But I have huge sympathy with your listener because, you know, it is heartbreaking when lots of people out there are making a genuine effort to see such wanton destruction, such love of violence and destruction and such nihilism. That you know, nihilism has always been a characteristic of humans, but it tended to be out on the lunatic fringes. And it's incredible to see that anarchic nihilism now in right in the heart of some of the most powerful countries in the world.
Just as an aside, I mean, there's all sorts of things happening, such as we've been told to drive more slowly so as to save on petrol and diesel when we're moving in our cars. The Irish Daily Mail had a front page story this morning saying that, you know, the cut in excise duty, that applies also to private jet fuel.
I was surprised. The only thing that would surprise me in that is if the excise duty applied in the first place, Matt, because again, we've discussed this many times here.
Aviation fuel benefits from lower charges.
Massive, taxpayer subsidy in the form of taxes that are not levied on it. But I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised. And again, I think it's often been remarked that the even the existence of private aviation in a climate emergency, it's an affront to ordinary people trying to make efforts. And obviously, if it has to exist, it should be taxed at three times the level of your family car. I suppose it has to be said as well that it's an ill wind that blows no good at all. I mean, Trump and his antics in particular have been a fantastic business card for the renewable transition, Matt. There's no question about that. I mean, I know he's trying to burn the world down, but essentially
it's an unintended consequence.
Of course it is, but it really is an ill wind that blows no good, because again we're seeing this a stronger and stronger pivot from the likes of the Chinese going further and further into renewable energy. And also, I mean, I know we've talked about things like LNG in Ireland, and you can make the case or you can argue for it and you can argue against it, but overall, I mean, the collective goose of the fossil fuel sector is cooked.
Okay, let's move away from this disgusting illegal war for a while. And other things that came up this week. Tell us about how the Earth's climate is showing a record energy imbalance.
Yeah, this comes from the World Meteorological Organization's State of the Global Climate Report for 2025. And they put together quite a remarkable run. They found that the hottest years on the instrumental record, Matt, and that goes back, reliable global instrumental records exist to about 1850. So over that period of time to 2025, the 11 hottest years have all occurred since 2015. So statistically, the likelihood of that being random in any shape or form would be probably billions to one against. So the trend is overwhelmingly strong. And what they're saying in particular is the colossal accumulation of heat energy in the Earth's system. And I suppose the best way I can describe this is that the Earth, despite, you know, when you're outside and you look up in the sky, it looks infinite. It's like you're looking into space. But in fact, the envelope, the atmospheric envelope that wraps around the world is probably, Matt, about the distance from studio here in Stephen's Green out to about Greystones. If you were to go straight up from Dublin city centre to Greystones, that is the height above us of the global atmosphere. So all the junk, all the emissions, all the burning and the pillaging, all of that essentially is ending up being trapped in that narrow band of atmosphere above our head. But worse than that, we're also seeing a massive accumulation of heat energy in the global oceans. So what we're now recording is warming of the world's oceans down to a depth of 2,000 metres. In other words, 2 kilometres, Matt, straight down, the water is being warmed down to that depth. Now, they calculate that the world's oceans are absorbing 18 times more than the total annual human energy use. And that has been the case over the last 2 decades. Now, to try to, and some of these numbers are colossal. So there is a sort of an index that some people use. It's called the Hiroshima Index, where you take the power of the Hiroshima bomb, right? Forget about the nuclear part, the waste part of it, just the energy release of a Hiroshima bomb. And then you try to calculate how the Earth's energy imbalance is building when you compare it to Hiroshima bombs. So at the moment, over the last 12 months, we're accumulating energy in the Earth's system at the rate of 12 Hiroshimas per second. Every second of the day over the last 12 months. That translates...
It seems almost unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It?
That translates to approximately 380 million Hiroshimas in excess energy being trapped in the Earth system. It is mind-boggling.
Is that why El Nino apparently is going to return this year?
Well, no. El Nino and La Nina, these are natural cyclical processes, and they tend to originate in the eastern Pacific Ocean, and it's to do with the upwelling and downwelling of currents. So these are natural systems. So they tend to occur, typically they last 9 to 12 months. The last one we had was actually 2024, which by no coincidence was also the hottest year ever recorded in the world. So we actually cooled off slightly in 2025. We're expecting now, the science estimates that we've got a 1 in 3 chance of a strong El Nino by the end of 2026. The likelihood is that we will therefore see record temperatures again in 2027. So there is oscillation, but the El Nino process is a natural cycle process. It affects, for example, the movement and position of the jet stream. It affects around the world. But the main impacts, Matt, that we can measure from a strong El Nino is global temperatures go up, droughts intensify, and deluges come down harder than ever.
On Monday night, we tried to get Professor Iris Muller to join us. She's Trinity College's coastal geomorphologist. And she had said that planning must be put in place as a matter of urgency for extreme weather events on the east coast of Ireland. Why?
Well, again, this is to do with rising sea levels, coastal inundation, and of course our east coast particularly is where the great population centres are based. And also, as any geographer will tell you, the east coast is largely made of clay. The west coast is mostly rocky and therefore more resistant to erosion. But we're seeing colossal erosion. Anyone who's walked along the East Coast, for example, you can no longer walk on the pathway between Bray and Greystones. It has been closed down. We also, of course, have our Dart and our Dublin to Wexford line under imminent threat of disappearing into the sea. So these are, again, processes that are being accelerated because, again, we're getting more powerful storms. We're getting more torrential rainfall, which, again, weakens the soil and increases the likelihood of subsidence. And also, and it's something, again, we've talked about before, Matt. For example, we now know in Ireland alone right now, about 100,000 households do not have flood insurance right now. That number is going to probably double, possibly by the end of this decade. And increasingly, as we get more and more places facing coastal inundation, and again, sometimes, by the way, this is a matter of luck. I'll give you an example. Storm Chandra rolled in February, right? But we dodged the bullet because it didn't coincide with the high spring tide. Had it ridden in on a high spring tide, we would have been looking at tens, maybe hundreds of millions of euros of flood damage. So there's only so many of these bullets that we can dodge. And I noticed that Professor Muller had actually observed, and it did sound radical, the idea of preparing for emergency evacuation. And this, unfortunately, is something that we're going to be looking at more and more, because essentially more powerful storms riding in on higher sea storm surges that are being lifted by global sea level rise, Matt. And of course, we're very much part of that system. We're sitting right out in the Atlantic. So everything that happens in the world's oceans are happening right here in Ireland.
John Gibbons, thank you very much for joining us for The Last Word in the Environment.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.